The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
You want some bad news, Michael?
No.
What are you asking me?
You're the guru of the gray matter. I figured if anybody had it, you'd have the answer.
I can't give you any direction.
I think I'm going to have to change this channel. I'm sorry.
You're completely wrong.
I refuse to be wrong on two calls in a row.
Tell me I'm spot on or tell me I'm crazy as I'll get out.
I have no idea.
I have a six-month-old, so we'll be raising him according to Dr. Ray.
Talk about being a winner.
So, you want my question?
You ain't making any sense.
You're absolutely right. I just needed confirmation.
So what are you going to do about it, Dawn?
I'm calling you.
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
I'm going to have to tell Steve Clark, stop it. You don't begin a show with deception. I'm in dollars taxes. Yes, here, this wonderful Guadalupe radio affiliate. Here, it is noon. So the one good thing about this, normally I broadcast Eastern time. If I say anything foolish, which is very likely, it will be 1 hour before I normally say it, so we can probably correct it. Take care of that. I am here because the Summer Speaker Series is tonight, and I guess they're out of tickets. I'm not taking that as a compliment. They booked some kind of room that holds 12 people because they figured they'd have a heck of a time filling it if I came in. Now, this is their 16th Summer Speaker Series, which, as I've said a couple times in the past on this microphone, raises the question for me, Cecil, who were the previous 15? Now, when I gave my objections to Dave Palmer, the executive director here at the Guadalupe Radio affiliate in Dallas, he's been trained. He's been here 18 years. He is highly trained at conflict management. So he settled me down immediately. He encouraged me. He confirmed. He said, Ray, actually, you were scheduled for the 24th, but we had a couple of unexpected cancellations. So we moved you up to 16. I told him, Dave, with what you're paying me, you're lucky you're getting verbs. 877-573-7825. 877-57 equal. In fact, I am looking very much forward to seeing you. Cecil, that's the air museum? That where we're at, that's kind of neat. I guess there's going to be planes above me and everything. They make a lot of noise. All right. I've always dreamt of coming in with kind of a flare, you know, a helicopter drop, if you could arrange that, along with the red M&Ms cut in half and the greens removed. I distinctly asked for that. 877-573-7825. That's the same number from where I broadcast in Canton, Ohio, as Steve Clark said, the home of Mother Angelica. If you have a question about something in your life, circumstances, people, places, things, rock, paper, scissors, whatever it might be. Also, comments. I noticed the lines fill up a lot more with comments. We hit on a topic a couple days ago. We did Tattoo 2.0, and the lines just filled up. And interestingly enough, there wasn't one person who defended tattoos. Now, I'm sure there would be a whole lot of people who would defend tattoos, but that particular show, there wasn't. But this is not a topical show. It is a show where you are the guests. You ask the questions. You make the comments. You tell me where I'm wrong, which is risky. Very risky. You're taking your chances. 877-57-EQUAL. I very much enjoy talking to you. I could talk the whole hour if I had to. I really can. But I'd rather talk to you. You got a personal apology percentage? You know what that is? That is the percent wrong you have to be in any interchange. An argument, contention, friction, a back and forth before you'll apologize. Now, let's say that you have a panel of 100 objective observers. And he's watching you and, let's say, your spouse or your mother-in-law or some relative or a friend get into a back-and-forth argument. Now, the panel says, 78% of them say that she witch started it and kept it going. The other 28% of the panel says that Jerkface started it and kept it going. It's very difficult to objectively decide how much is your percentage. I think a safe thing to say is you probably give yourself less percentage than is objectively so. But let's just say that you're accurate. And in your mind, you were 12% wrong. Because you really tried to keep your cool. You were being badgered. You were being name called. You were being assaulted. Whatever it is that was the provocation. And you were admirably calm, collected. But then you erupted. Maybe you cursed. Maybe you did a little name calling of your own. You yelled. You had enough. Now, in your assessment of the percentage of blame in that particular 12-minute interchange, you were 12% wrong. The other person was 88% wrong. As you see it anyway, as you heard it. Will you apologize for your 12%? You see, most people in their minds have to be at least 50% wrong before they'll apologize. 12%, that's a low percentage. Well, you did curse. You did yell. You did call a name or whatever it is you're 12% occupied. What's the risk of apologizing for your 12%? Well, that kind of implies that you're all wrong and they're all right, right? I mean, that's how they might take it. Or they're not apologizing for their 88, which is approximately 7 times your percentage. Notice how quick I did that in my head. I used to be in engineering, you know. Why should you have to apologize? Well, simple. You say you're Christian. You're going to apologize for when you did something wrong. Oh, fine. I'm already the one who apologizes 92% of the time anyway. Well, there's two answers to that. One, if you were wrong, then apologize. You don't apologize because you expect the other person to reciprocate. Now, I will tell you the odds of them reciprocating are higher if you apologize. They are. Most people will respond with something, maybe not most, but many will respond with something like, well, yeah, me too. I got carried away. I'm sorry. They will. If they see you taking the initiative, it's a risk, but I think it's something we're obliged to do, and boy, does it humble you. It major league humbles you, because the other person is either thinking, I don't owe you an apology, I didn't do anything wrong, you were the one most wrong. You think yours is 12%. I happen to think yours is 74%, you know. So, in fact, you're acting because it is the good and right thing to do, not because the other person should see their fault too. A Christian's personal apology percentage should be very low. It shouldn't be 50%. It should be whatever percent that you think is your responsibility. keeping in mind, we generally attribute less blame to us and more justification than that panel of 100 objective observers would probably do. 877-573-7825. Same number as when I'm in Canton, but I happen to be in Dallas.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com. This program brought to you in part by the town of Ave Maria, Florida.
Ave Maria, a big kind of small town. A golf cart-friendly, ride-your-bike-everywhere kind of town with something for everyone. Resort-style amenities, two golf courses, shopping, and dining in our town center. With Ave Maria University and Ave Maria Catholic Church at the core of the community and a wide range of homes to meet your family's needs. Visitors are welcome. More information can be found at AveMaria.com. Ave Maria, a big kind of small town.
Ave Maria in the Afternoon, premiering July 15th with Dr. Marcus Peter. An engaging take on the church, culture, and current events.
Hi, I'm Marcus Peter. Tune in weekdays from 5 to 6 p.m. Eastern as we examine the world around us, past and present, through the lens of faith from the heart of the church. So join me in conversation with our guests and call in with your questions.
Tune in starting Monday, July 15th as we navigate the culture on this EWTN radio station.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Do you feel as though life is flying past you? Are you desperate for a way to find moments of peace and quiet? Lord, teach me to pray. The free Ignatian Prayer Series will open your heart to His voice, to the peace you are seeking and the only love that fulfills the human heart, Jesus. God is calling you to true joy, knowing Jesus personally. Lord, Teach Me to Pray is free. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com, click on the red box, order the Lord Teach Me to Pray series now. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com.
Thank you so much for joining me, Dr. Ray Guarendi. The doctor is in here in Dallas. The wonderful Guadalupe Radio affiliate, 910. I want to announce our newest Ave Maria radio program. As you know, of course, our founder, our dear friend, and an incredible man, Al Cresta, passed away very recently. So premiering Monday, July 15, Ave Maria in the Afternoon is the new show with Dr. Marcus Peter. It's going to air weekdays from 4 to 6 Eastern Time, examining church, culture, current events through the lens of faith from the heart of the church. New program. Thank you so much. Also want to announce, I'm doing a number of announcements here, and I'm asking the people on the phone to be very patient. Another member of the EWTN radio family, Divine Mercy Broadcasting, 7 FM signals in Washington State, celebrating 11 years with EWTN. Congratulations to Joe and John Haberman, Michael Drollman, and their great team at Divine Mercy Broadcasting from all of us here at EWTN. Way to go, guys. Dave from Kansas. Hi, Dave.
Well, hello, Dr. Ray Guarendi.
How are you, sir?
I am doing well, thank you. And this is my second call to your show, but my first call was 21 years ago.
No, you're thinking of my dad.
I remember calling and consulting you about how to explain the passing of my mother to my three-year-old back then, and you gave me great advice then, and now I'm actually calling about that same child who is now 24 and her brother who is 17. And my wife and I have been praying for them. You know, we always pray for them, of course, but since COVID, before COVID, we always went to church as a family. Then during COVID, as happened with many many parishes across the country, ours suspended operations. We could not go to Mass for a period of months. And since COVID, going to Mass as a family has not been something that has happened very often. And I've got a 17-year-old son who says, I don't believe in God. Got a 24-year-old who she works on Saturdays and Sundays, and getting her to attend Mass even on her own is difficult. And so I'm just calling because I want them to come to Mass with us. Our 24-year-old actually lives at home. 17-year-old, of course, lives at home. But I also recognize that, you know, kind of in the words of a deacon who preached last Sunday's homily, Jesus always invites and never compels.
Well, Jesus wasn't raising kids.
Well, regardless, I'm not going to compel. At least that has not been our approach recently, and so just trying to figure out, you know, how I can do a better job of inviting.
Think you can.
Okay.
Because if you're going to say I'm going to invite them, they don't want to go.
Yep.
Now, your son there says he doesn't believe in God. I'm reminded of the scripture verse, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
This is your house. Now, I know you're thinking, like many think, Dave, which is, if we force them, what good's that going to do? Yeah, they'll just sit there like stone pillars of salt. They won't respond. They'll get bitter. And then as soon as they get a chance to get out of here, they won't look back at God ever, which is not necessarily true. Father Robert Spitzer talks a lot about kids that age. And he says one of the things that's very prominent among them is they believe that science has pretty much eliminated the need for God. As a consequence, he has some fabulous websites. I'm just right now, they're slipping me. Just look up Father Robert Spitzer. And
Father Robert Spencer.
Spitzer.
He
has a PhD in physics, incredibly brilliant man. And he offers a massive amount of not only scientific evidence, but end-of-life evidence, Eucharistic miracle evidence, Guadalupe Tilma evidence, shroud evidence. And it is very powerful, very powerful. And a 17-year-old and a 24-year-old who, I guess I would say this, Dave. Okay, if you're going to say, I'm not going to have you come to church even though you live here, but I am going to have you look at this evidence. This is going to be required. We're going to go there and look at. For the life of me, I do not know why I am slipping on that website. Somebody's going to call me real quick. Somebody call me real quick and tell me Father Spitzer's main website, because I support him. And you have them look at that stuff and say, okay, now tell me what you think about no God. Or tell me what you think about, yeah, there's a God, but, I don't really think you have to go to church to believe in God. Come on. So that's what I would do. But you said an interesting thing, Dave. Help me out on this. You said when COVID hit, you stopped going to church, which I think is a lot of us look back on it, that we realized that was an interesting move, to say the least. But since then, you said we haven't gone as a family. Is that because the kids refuse to?
It is not because of a refusal. although I will, you know, I will accept the responsibility or the accountability for forging that. And when I say that we did not go to Mass during COVID, our parish and virtually every parish in our city shut down. Mass was, was streamed online with the, the parish priest, celebrating Mass. And we, for the better part of, I don't know how many months it would have been, let's just call it 9 months. At least in our parish, the only opportunity for communion was spiritual communion, not, actual reception of the Eucharist. And so we attended, we sat and watched Mass being streamed online.
The kids too?
The kids too, for a period of time.
Then they got tired of it.
And I got to be honest with you. Yeah. Not only did they get tired of it, there were Sundays where, frankly, we got busy and we forgot that to even do it.
And, interesting statistic here, Dave. Approximately 17% of Catholics have not returned to church.
Yeah. No, I believe it.
I would say this. By the way, it's magiscenter.com, MAGISCENTR, magiscenter.com, and he has very nice, very edible, readable, watchable video productions, short bites of how do we know there's a God? What is the evidence for God? Where is science regarding God? Interesting statistic I'll share with you that of the scientists under age 50, they are more likely to believe in God than scientists over age 50.
Mm.
And Father Spitzer's observation about that is that they are recognizing that as we come to understand the universe, the body, all of it in a deeper scientific way, we are coming to realize there had to be something behind it. It is too absolutely infinitesimally orchestrated. Beyond comprehension.
Well, intelligent design is much more logical than everything happening by chance.
Well, even beyond that, if you look at the statistics, the odds of certain things happening, they simply cannot happen given the age of the universe as we know it. So I would highly recommend that you make the kids do that and you tell them, look, you're going to live here, all right? It's not my style to make you go to Mass, but here's what my style is. You as a 17-year-old are not going to say in your limited knowledge, God doesn't exist. That makes no sense. If you're going to conclude that God doesn't exist, then you need to look at the evidence that does exist and then decide. That's what I would take a very strong stand on that. I'm not going to allow him to say that. Now the daughter, yeah, it's the old I work on Saturday and I can't squeeze Mass in and I just can't. I think I would sit down with her and say, what is it you believe? Why is this something that you say, man, Mass isn't important? I don't need it. Do you believe in God? Do you believe Christ was God? What is it? Well, it's just not convenient. It's just not convenient.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to squeeze in. Uh-huh. So are you saying God doesn't exist? No, I think he exists. Are you saying that Jesus was or wasn't God? I think he's God. Okay. Then what does he say? If he's God, what does he say about meeting him in Mass? Dave, don't wait another 20 years, man. I can't. You keep coming at me. You know, a 3-year-old who doesn't understand why grandma passed away is a lot easier to deal with a 24-year-old and a 17-year-old who say, I think God has passed away. Thanks, Dave. Call again. This is Dr. Ray.
Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo.
The church isn't saying throw out the baby with the bathwater. Throw out all the media. Don't use the media. What the Pope is saying, that make sure that what you are doing is enabling yourself and others to encounter Christ more deeply. And you can't do that unless you reach out. You have to reach out to God first. You have to encounter Him in the Eucharist, in that personal relationship. And then you pray, you reflect, and then you go. In my book, Beyond Sunday, Becoming a 24/7 Catholic, I talk about the three M's of faith: meeting, mercy, and mission. You meet and encounter Christ. You enter into a personal relationship with Him. He gives you mercy. And then what do? You just sit there and say, oh, thanks, Jesus. See you later. No, you go out on mission, exactly as the woman at the well did.
Catholic Connections, Teresa Tomeo. Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Where is the drama of prayer fully revealed? The Catholic Catechism tells us it is first revealed to us by observing Jesus Christ, the Word of God, in prayer. Then by hearing how He teaches us to pray in order to realize how He hears our prayer. Jesus learned to pray in His human heart under the guidance of His mother. He learns the rhythms of the prayers of His people in the synagogue at Nazareth and the temple in Jerusalem. But at the age of 12, He makes known that His prayer springs from an otherwise secret source, His relationship with God the Father. For example, He tells His earthly parents that He must be about His heavenly Father's business. Luke's gospel emphasizes that before all the decisive moments of Jesus' mission, His baptism, His transfiguration, His passion, He prays, humbly committing His will to His Father's. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
One of the most common things I now see is the moral divide between those of us in the older generation and our children. Well, our children, our adult children, offspring. My wife doesn't like me when I say adult children because they're not children. They're adult offspring, I guess, who have... Well, like Dave's have said, I've got my own idea of what religion matters, or if it matters at all. And then like Eileen here from Grand Rapids, Michigan, who has a daughter who's saying, I want to live this way regarding my marriage. And, well, I just don't see any problem with it. Hi, Eileen. Eileen, are you there, dear? Hello. You know what happens? We've had this happen before where usually people say, okay, well, I'm going to put the phone on hold and then I'm going to go do something. Maybe go to the bathroom. And then when we come back to them, oh, yeah, I had just left for a while. I had to re-roof my house. And I was...
Hello.
Where did you go, Eileen? Just out of curiosity.
I'm here. I can hear you. I don't know what I'm doing wrong.
Oh, okie dokie. So tell me what's going on.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I'm.
Okay, good. Sorry about that. Well, I just want to tell you, you just had a Seton homeschool commercial on, and I use that. And I have to tell you that the first time I ever saw you was at a homeschool conference in Lansing, Michigan, years and years ago. And I got there late. I was really in a bad mood. And I got there late, and I went into your talk, and I thought, who is this guy? And in 5 minutes, I was laughing. So you really straightened me out on that day.
Was that the talk where we had the cameras there to produce the DVD?
Maybe. I think it was. Yeah. So it was like, oh, gosh, that was great.
Well, I'll share with you something a little unrelated. We'll get to your talk here in a second. That talk, there was a joke I told at the beginning of that talk regarding Jesus, Moses, and an elderly-looking gentleman. That talk was taken from, my son took that talk, my son runs my Instagram, He took that talk, that joke, it was a minute and something, and he put it up on Instagram. That joke now has, there's no way I would ever have gauged this, 2.7 million views with a cumulative views of 10 million. Now,
oh my gosh.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's just insane. And interestingly enough, I mean, I put a lot of stuff up on the Instagram, but it's mostly 30 to 45 second reels of advice on life, on parenting, on marriage, etc. Who'd have thunk a joke would do that? But the good news on that joke is that it is very religiously tinged. And I think the people responding to it liked the message in the joke. But it was that from that Lansing talk that you were at.
Oh, my gosh.
And I look crazy. Like I was 26 years old. Yeah, I know.
Oh.
So your daughter daughter is not with your husband, and she's dating another guy.
Yeah, I have two daughters, actually. One's way over the top. They're, you know, Catholic. She's not divorced. She's working on it, working on the annulment. In the meantime, she's living with this other guy and got pregnant. And not only that, but we're okay, you're having a child, we're going to brace the child, but she's putting all these pictures on Instagram, like glamour pictures, you know, of her and this guy and her in this long dress celebrating. It's just like over the top, like what happened? And then the other daughter is not so bad. She's Catholic, went to Franciscan, so did her husband. They're separated. Working on the divorce and the annulment. In the meantime, she's struck up this relationship with this other guy, and nothing sexual, but she has four children. The oldest is 16, and he's over there all the time. They're always together, and we refuse to go there or have her come over with him. And, you know, I mean, like, my other daughters, the good one that I didn't mention, they don't want to have them over or go over there at their house when he's there also. So, you know, is this the right thing to do? I mean, I want to support her, but
let me see. I got this. Your daughter, who is separated from her husband, is basically seeing another guy, and she's still married, right?
Right. Right.
So this would be considered an adulterous relationship, but apparently she doesn't care. And I would guess that she's going to alienate, especially the older kids who are not going to like this. I even though they may not have the greatest feelings toward their dad, I've seen so many 16-year-olds not talk when they can to the parent because look what you're doing. So I don't know if that's happening in your case, but I wouldn't be surprised. Normally, I advise parents in your situation to keep the connection up. And I perfectly understand that you wouldn't want to go there when he's there because she's married. And I understand also that you wouldn't want them both to come to your house. I understand that. And that's probably where I would be at. But if there's any way you can at least visit her alone, or go out to breakfast with her alone, or talk to her over the phone alone, I would still keep that avenue open. But I'd be clear with it. I'd say, you know what? You're married. Well, Mom, we're not married. We're separated, and we're heading for divorce. So we are as good as not married. Well, you got married in church.
Yeah.
So if you're going to just going to declare that's your decision, you're asking me to go along with it. I can't. I had a situation with my daughter.
Go ahead, dear. I mean, she just said, oh, he's just a friend, but he's there all the time. I mean, not overnight or anything, but he's just a friend. But, you know, we really like each other.
Yeah, well, this goes back to the old guys generally don't pick girls as friends. And I know that sounds controversial, but it's in the main true. So she may view him as a friend, but I got to believe he doesn't view her as a friend. He'd like more to it.
Okay.
So at that point, and you can be straight with her. You can say, you know, you're still married. You're doing this with the kids. You don't have to say, I don't believe you. Mommy's just a friend. Nothing is going on here, Mom. We're not having any kind of adulterous relationship. You don't have to say, I don't believe you. But you can say, it just really, really looks bad. And I'm suspicious. So if you say, I mean, you have every right to do what you want, Eileen, but if you say, in good conscience, I can't do this, then that is your conscious decision. 877-573-7825, 877-57-EQUAL. These situations are so gray sometimes. Clearly, what's going on is objectively wrong, but you weigh on trying to keep some connection with your daughter.
'60 on 10 with Monsignor Charles Pope.
The fourth commandment, honor your father and your mother. This commandment enjoins on us young children not only obedience to their parents and even older children, great honor for them, but also gratitude for all of our elders, teachers, employers, and leaders. It also directs citizens to a proper love of our country. So it's a rich commandment. And it also puts great requirements on those who are in those positions to be worthy of the honor that is due them. This commandment is fundamentally given to us by God because without respect for our elders, there can be no teaching, and we cannot hand on the wisdom of previous generations. This commandment is rich and it is for us. The fourth commandment, honor your father and your mother.
For more about the Ten Commandments, visit EWTNRC.com.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
We just did our parish mission a couple weeks ago now, and I suggested that in the course of the mission that we do something like a little mini spiritual assessment of our lives. I don't have to show this to anybody, but a great chance for us just to, with real honesty, just between us and Jesus, ask ourselves some questions. First question, given the fact that half of Catholics don't think God is even personal, would be to ask ourselves that. Do I think God is personal? And then to ask myself, do I think a relationship with Jesus is possible? Do I have a relationship with Jesus? And if so, what's it look like? And then perhaps a little bit more awkwardly or painfully, to ask Jesus, from his perspective, what's the friendship that we have with him look like? How would he describe our friendship with him? That might be a hard conversation to have.
At EWTN sends you a text telling you it's Magic Center. I've listened to Father Spitzer's Universe pretty much every time it's on. Listen to the podcast. I've been to Magic Center many times. I've got both of his books, The Moral Wisdom of the Catholic Church and Science at the Doorstep to God. I'm reading them. They're fascinating things. And yet I'm sitting here going, I couldn't think. And he's got two other websites, too. Don't even begin to ask me what those are, and I've heard them a million times. It's a wonderful website, and I highly recommend it for those of you who have waffling 15, 16, 17, 20, 22, 25-year-olds. Even, for example, an in-law, a spouse, who is, really smart-like guy or girl that just is just too smart to think that there could be a brain behind all of this, even though mathematically it's virtually impossible that what is occurring could occur in the short time that the universe has been in existence. Dr. A, it's not a short time. It's 13.8 billion years. That's a short time given what would have happened to have transpired. So, highly, highly recommend it. Okay, and he's got some wonderful CDs on Eucharistic miracles too, and the Shroud. He is quite an expert on the Shroud. The Shroud is almost indubitably the burial cloth of Christ. It has been studied up one side and down the other by nearly 2,000 observers and scientists, almost all of whom have become Christian. Gene from Cleveland, Ohio, The Rock, AM 1260, formerly the old Wixie 1260 that I grew up on when I was in middle school because it was top 40. Hi, Gene.
Hi, how you doing, Dr. Ray?
Well, I often I feel very clean when I addressed you. I really do. Hi, Gene.
Hi. Oh, at the end, I want to hear that joke that you told because I never heard that joke.
Well, you you can't get the full impact. You got to go to my Instagram and just it's right there.
Oh, shoot, I don't get on any of those social media things. The only thing I ever look at is email, and it's mostly technology groups for the visually impaired. That's
well, get somebody you know just to do it for you to hear the joke because you have to see it as it is presented to an audience.
Oh, okay, all right, but anyway. I think it was probably a couple months ago now, a woman called who was saying that she was part of a prayer meeting and they were, you know, a rosary, various prayers and other things. And there were two women there who wanted to make it a divine will meeting and they kind of objected to it. And if I remember correctly, she thought Louisa Picaretta had been banned. She has not been.
Well, confused. Help me out. What is a divine will meeting? What is
recently? She was on the track to become blessed. However, just so that they have, they can shore up any mistranslations that have been put in several languages. They have removed her cause, but they'll hopefully will be putting it back on shortly. But
Gene, help me out here. Wait a minute. What is a divine will meeting? What is divine will? What are you referring to? I'm not familiar with it.
Okay, she. It's hard to really sum it up, but basically, what anyone who wants to be in the divine will, they invite Jesus to work in them. Listen in my listening, pray in my praying. It looks to other people that they're doing it, but in the sense, it's Jesus doing it through them. And this is how Adam and Eve were living before Adam ate the apple himself.
So are you saying that, now I think if I remember right, these ladies wanted to have just a prayer meeting, and they really didn't want to explore a private revelation like that, right?
Right. My suggestion, if these two women want to do that, they should do it on their own time and let these other people alone. That's what my comment was. I'm fully understand they want to do it, but they should not do it at the time that these other women are holding the meeting. They should either be in the meeting and then set another time for them to be by themselves.
I think that was the conclusion we came to, Gene. It was at cross purposes, The bigger aspect is that this is a private revelation, and the church says
right.
You don't have to believe a private revelation. So
that's
therefore,
right.
These ladies were saying, well, let's surround this particular prayer group with these private revelations. And understandably, the ladies were saying, no, it's not the purpose of where we're going. So you're right.
No, I agree with those other ladies. Because we don't have to believe in private revelations, but if they do, they should set their own time and do it by themselves at another time.
I suspect you're just kind of confirming the conclusion we came to, right?
Right.
Okay. Well, I appreciate it when a woman tells me I'm right. Do you realize that? This has happened to me about once every 4 years.
Oh.
It's like the old joke. Do you remember... If a tree falls in the woods, does it make a sound? Do you ever remember that? Well, of course it doesn't because there's nothing there to pick up the vibrations of the air molecules. However, Gene, there is a counterpart to that. If a man is in the woods all alone and he speaks and there's no women there to hear him, is he still wrong?
Depends on what he says.
Hey, there, oh, see that? It depends on what he says. Yeah. Thank you, honey, for the call. I appreciate it. Very
okay,
good.
Thanks.
I'll talk to you. Bye. See that? Gene says, it depends on what he says. Of course, who decides what he says, right? All righty. We'll get to your calls here just in a second. I'm Dr. Ray. Our final segment of the program coming up. And again, I am fortunate enough to be here in Dallas, the big Dallas Guadalupe radio affiliate. Tonight, the summer speaker series, they told me it's filled up, but that doesn't mean anything because it depends on the size of the room. You know, you could have it in a 25-seat capacity thing, and okay, it's filled. Yeah, we sold out. But as I understand it, it is a pretty good size venue. One other thing before I go, and I know I get grief for this because I draw all these parallels, you know, between women calling me on the radio and how in college and high school I never got calls from ladies. This is true. About a week before my prom as a senior in high school, I fell to the pressure. Ray, you got to go to prom. It's a memory you'll have for life. You just have to do it. And I didn't want to go to prom. It's a lot of money. And okay. I'll go to prom. So I started asking potential dates to prom. I was 0-15 before number 16, which I think is coincidental with I'm the 16th speaker they chose here in Dallas, said yes. And the irony to all of this, one girl later told me she refused me because she got wind that she was the second girl that I asked. And I didn't say anything, but that's not true. She was the fifth girl that I asked. Dr. Ray.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. You thinking about homeschooling? Seton Homeschooling, 40 years of experience, 17,000 current students, pre-K through high school. They provide the books, the lesson plan, the counselors, the grading services, the tests. That's right, pretty much everything. My wife and I use Seton, some of our children. I'll tell you this, two of them got perfect ACT scores in verbal. And overall, the Seton students scored more than 100 points above average on the SAT. Over 30% higher on English and reading on the ACT. It's a rigorous program. You want to give the very best to your kids? Trust me on this one. Go with Seton. It is a beautifully rigorous academic program. Go to setonhome.org. That is setonhome.org.
The following program is brought to you in part by MyCatholicWill.com. Surveys show that more than half of Americans do not have a will. At MyCatholicWill.com, it takes as little as 15 minutes to write your will and secure a legacy of faith. MyCatholicWill.com is the exclusive online destination for creating a Catholic will. The process of writing a will is simple and now more accessible than ever. MyCatholicWill.com, a legacy of faith for those you love.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
Last segment, and I appreciate the company so very, very much. This is a co-production of the Ave Maria Radio Communications Network, as well as EWTN Global Catholic Radio. Wonderful bunch of people all over the place, and the neat thing about so many of them is they are who they are off the air and on the air. That is one of the big telltale signs of the quality of somebody's personality and character. Chris from Boston, Mass. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Dr. Ray. Thank you for taking my call. I was just wondering if you have any advice for me who has a 22-year-old son that's living at home, just finished college, was living away for 4 years, and is just not very thoughtful. My husband is extremely thoughtful. He has had role models that have been thoughtful, but he just can't seem to think about the little things in life that mean a lot.
He's a graduate from college. He's living at home. Now, according to, is he married?
No.
Okay.
No, he is not married. He just graduated in May and will shortly be working.
How did you decide he's not thoughtful?
Well, for instance, like if we're all home and he's hungry and he goes out, he'll get a sandwich for himself and bring it home. And it's lunchtime and doesn't think about asking any of us if we want a sandwich or even bringing a sandwich home. If I'm busy with my mom and have to pick up other kids from activities, he never volunteers to get them. And once I bring it to his attention, he does apologize and say, yeah, you're right. I should have brought a sandwich home. Or, yeah, I should have picked so-and-so up from school.
But that doesn't translate into next time.
Exactly.
Well,
so if you have any advice?
Yeah, without getting too general here, you're talking to a guy who, again, this is my perspective, and it doesn't go back very far, but I really believe that our children have been raised very materially comfortable. They have unbelievable options for entertainment. So the idea that I have to think outside my own wants is a lot harder now. I believe it is for the younger generation. Someone like yourself, Chris, who, if you were a great parent who tried to raise this kid in a good way, and you find as a young adult, he just kind of, he's sort of self-absorbed here and really look beyond his own immediate needs and think about someone else. Now, hopefully some of that will come with age and maybe when he's on his own. But at this point, you're probably forced into a situation. I know you asked on the call here how to talk to him. I think the talking to him is probably not going to get you anywhere. I think you got to make it happen. For example, son, I need you to go get so-and-so. Son, if you next time you're gone out, let me know because we may want a sandwich too. May have to just set it up. I wouldn't say much after the fact. I wouldn't, you know, when he comes home with his sandwich, you're tempted to say, did you think about somebody else that might want a sandwich? Eh, he'll just look at you as a nag. You don't do that, do you, Chris?
Well, I did do that in hopes that he would, you know, not do it again. But then, as you said, it's just next thing happens and he doesn't step up. And I guess I just need to tell him to step up.
You're going
to
be proactive instead of reactive. You're going to tell him. If you see him leaving, say, you going out to get a sandwich? You going out to get something to eat?
Yeah.
Okay, well, here's my order. Or, okay. I can't go him up. You're going to have to pick him up, son. I can't do it. So what are you doing tomorrow at 10 o'clock?
Okay.
Don't forget, he's 22, right. And I'm going to assume he's not paying any bills, and I got to assume he's not paying any rent, and I got to assume he's just kind of living there.
Yes. For now, yes. We told him he could stay at home for the 1 year till he got his feet on the ground. But yes, for right now, that is. And that's, you know, what I want him to contribute. And
well,
yes, he doesn't. And I'm not making.
Here's one idea for you, my dear. Sliding rent scale. You could live here, son. But each month I'm going to kind of decide how much you were thoughtful and helpful, and I'll adjust the rent accordingly.
Oh, I
like the sound of that. That's very good.
I want 10% of the finder's fee on that.
You got it. Okay, thank you, Dr. Ray. Appreciate
You're welcome,
it.
Chris. I'll talk to you. The old sliding rent scale for these young adults living at home. Yeah, parents will say they're not cooperative, they're not helpful, they're disrespectful. Well, all right, set up the rent, and then the rent moves up or down depending upon your assessment of cooperation. I got to go. Maybe I'll see some of you tonight at the Summer Speaker Series here in Dallas. It's always nice to be here. Guadalupe is a wonderful network. Absolutely. Thank you for joining me. Walk with God. He doesn't charge rent.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit DRA.com and follow him on Facebook and Instagram. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.